Let us pray. Lord Jesus, on this 495th anniversary that's coming up on Wednesday, it would be easy for us to remember the Reformation as an event that happened almost 500 years ago and forget that the purpose of the Reformation was transformation. Individual transformation, transformation of the body, transformation of your church. It was not reformation. It was not just to fix the errors up to that point, but Lord, it was to move people into a personal relationship with you and to move people to be transformed so they could test things by the power of your Holy Spirit and based upon your word, understanding your mercy and grace. So Lord, we pray today that you would give us a yearning to be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us a yearning in our hearts and minds to learn more about you, to learn about your holy word, to spend time in the word, spend time in prayer, spend time fasting and setting aside time for you, Lord. And we recognize that your word is true and that we are free. And Lord, we are slaves to sin. But yet when we come here and when we confess each and every day our sins to you, some of us many, many times during the day our sins to you, you immediately, without reservation, forgive us our sins when we sincerely repent of our sins. We belong to you. We are your children. And you tell us that if the Son sets us free, which is you, we shall be free indeed. So help us, O Lord, to celebrate transformation. Help us to celebrate that we are your kingdom children. And help us to celebrate the power we have been given in the Holy Spirit to live lives that are pleasing in your sight, that we may be able to know your will, your good, pleasing, and perfect will, and follow it. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mentioned earlier as I was reading that what bothers me about Reformation Day is what bothers me about many anniversaries is the temptation when you celebrate an anniversary is to think only of what happened back then. How many of us have fallen prey to that? Today I was telling this young married couple over here about being married for 23 years, and I said, you know, it goes by really fast. It goes by really fast. And it just seems to speed up. I don't know what it is. But it'd be easy on anniversaries to kind of think back to that day and to kind of just stay there for a while and to bask in the optimism and the excitement of that day and to forget about all the things that we've journeyed through and lived through and experienced together and to realize that I'm more in love with my wife today than I was when we got married. And that was hard to imagine then. She's at home watching our sick children, so she'd be really embarrassed. She'd be turning all kinds of red right now, but she's not here. But it's amazing when you think about this, that so many times during anniversaries, we forget that an anniversary is an opportunity not only to think about what happened in the past, but to see what we've learned since then. To thank the Lord for the journey that we're on each and every day. And that's why for me, as a Lutheran Christian, it bothers me when we spend all of our time celebrating the Reformation as an event that started on October 31st, 1517. It's almost 500 years ago. That's what Paul was saying at the beginning of the service. Almost 500 years ago, our churches are all preparing for the 500th anniversary in 2017. Matter of fact, there's a lot of work going on to spur people's enthusiasm for what happened in 1517. And I believe Martin Luther would be rolling over in his grave if he thought that in 500 years, all they were going to do is remember that one event and not realize what the purpose of that event was. It would be the same sin that the children of Abraham have in this text from the Holy Gospel according to John 8. It'd be the same sin because all they remembered was what they were told in Leviticus, that they were never going to be slaves to anyone. They remembered that. They stuck on that. As a matter of fact, Flavius Josephus wrote in his history of the Jews about many different people. And as a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 4, or chapter 5, I believe, when the disciples are brought before the Sanhedrin, Gamaliel stands up and reminds them of those rebels who rose up, like Judas from Galilee and others, who said, "We cannot be slaves. We are called children of Abraham. We're never going to be slaves." And what they forget is Egypt, which is funny because they never forget. They have the Passover every year. But they look at that as God allowing that for that time, and they say, "We're never going to be slaves of anyone." And it's funny because Jesus is trying to explain who he is. He's trying to explain truth. He starts out this whole section by trying to explain that he's the light of the world. He tried to explain who he was in John 6 when he talked about different illustrations of who he is as the Messiah and as Christ. He tells them that they're going to eat his body and drink his blood, and several disciples leave him. Then he goes through this whole exercise in trying to show who he is to the Jewish people. And he starts this section by talking about the fact that he's the light of the world and wanting them to believe truth. And this whole section is all about truth. And yet, what do the people who are fixated on the past pick up? He says, "If you believe what I'm teaching you and hold to it, you are truly my disciples, and the truth will set you free." What is the word that Jesus would consider the most important word in that sentence? Truth! That's the most important word in the sentence. And what do the people who are fixated on the past pick up? Free! And then they go on to talk about something that anybody who knows the Old Testament and history shakes their head. How can you believe something that is so obviously not true? "We've never been slaves of anyone." Huh? Who haven't you been slaves of? I've said this before. Who haven't they been slaves of? Tell me, what empire weren't the Jews slaves of? They're under the Romans now. Before that, they were under the Greeks, the Hellenists, the Persians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians. I mean, you tell me, what great empire have they not been slaves of? Mongols. True. Okay. They were not slaves of the Mongols. They probably were at one point, yeah. Oh. Isn't it funny how we can fixate on something and believe it and want to believe it so badly that we just ignore what things, history and others say? Isn't it amazing that if we just say something enough, that we can make it true? And that was what Martin Luther was dealing with. He was calling people to the truth. The 95 Theses that got posted on the Church of All Saints at Wittenberg Castle was not to be the reformation of the church. It was not to be the changing of the church. It was a call for individuals, especially those in the theologians and clergy, to get back to the truth and stop fixating on things that weren't that important. It was a call to get back to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of his amazing love that we sang in that beautiful song at the beginning of service. It was a call to get back to the truth. That's what Reformation was all about. It was a call to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will not be tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine. I'm picking parts of different scripture here. But it's a call to be transformed, not to be conformed any longer to people who are going out, and because they say it over and over again, because they brought great parades into the community, they brought the papal banner and they did all this stuff, they were trying to convince people what they said was true. And his call was to get back to the truth. And yet, the whole 95 Theses, instead of getting back to the truth, what did people fixate on? Well, I'll tell you. They somehow narrowed in on the fact that he was taking on papal authority. And thanks to Gutenberg, as Mrs. Johnson mentioned, thanks to Gutenberg and his press around 1450, this is 1517, the thing was translated into German and just went all over. And funny thing, it ended up in Rome and created what was supposed to be an academic exercise when all the people came to worship the relics in the castle church in Wittenberg on that day. And you recognize All Saints Day on November 1st, right? On that day, they were going to have an academic exercise. They were going to stand up and debate the 95 Theses. What Martin Luther was doing was presenting something that would be a debate topic. Again, seeking transformation, not reformation. Not a one-time event that would spur everybody to get upset and cause this great division, but it was a call to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, a call to get back to the truth. And yet they had the same attitude as the children of Abraham. They picked up on all the wrong stuff. Right? Because it was about truth. I want to read you the introduction. I'm actually going to have, I'll tell you what I'll do. If anybody wants a copy of the 95 Theses, it's on my blog, the website, but I can make you copies. I just want to read you the preamble. To understand why it bothers me when we make the Reformation about this event in 1517, because it wasn't about this event. It was what this event was meant to spur. Listen carefully. Out of love for the truth and desire to bring it to light, the following propositions will be discussed at Wittenberg under the presidency of the Reverend Father Martin Luther, Master of Arts and of Sacred Theology, and Lecturer in Ordinary at that place. Wherefore, he requests that those who are unable to be present and debate orally with us may do so by letter. This was an exercise to bring people to transformation out of love for the truth. And yet, he had the same problem as Jesus did. Jesus wanted to deal with the truth. And what did they pick up on? Free. Free. That's what they picked up on. And so he turns it around, and just as what happened in 1517 ended up becoming a movement that indeed attempted to reform the church and indeed desires even to this day to transform each one of us by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the knowledge of opening our minds to the truth of grace, mercy, and forgiveness, to understand that we are totally forgiven, not just partly forgiven, we're totally forgiven without us doing anything except turning to the Lord and saying we're sorry. And sincerely repenting of our sins, he immediately, without reservation, turns to us and says, "You are forgiven." That's grace. Totally undeserved mercy. That's why Romans 12 starts out with talking about God's mercy. It's the mercy of God. It's the grace of God that was all behind this. And yet, it was so funny because just like the people in John 8, the optimum word was truth, and yet they picked on free. So what does Jesus do? Jesus, wanting them to try to use what they were thinking to still reach them, what does he say? He says, okay, fine. This is what I'm thinking he's thinking, because not that I know, but I'm thinking he's thinking, okay, fine, if you're going to go there, then think of it like this. And what does he say? Yeah. If you don't think you're a slave, then how do you explain this? I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Isn't that an amazing verse? When we are adopted as his children through waters of baptism, through faith in Jesus Christ, through trusting in him, we are sons and daughters of the King, and we belong to him forever. It's funny because really it was supposed to be about truth, but if you're going to go there, if you're going to make it about free, Jesus says, okay, this is what it means. If the Son sets you free, you are what? Free indeed. Isn't that amazing? Because the people of Israel were known for their understanding of liberty. Even though they were people of the law, they were known by the Romans as people who valued liberty. Isn't that funny? Because they had this mindset, especially the zealots, that they were free. And that's who Jesus ran up against. And it wasn't wrong. He actually wanted them to understand, okay, you're on the right track, but what makes you free? Certainly not the world. Certainly not the Roman Empire. Because most of them weren't citizens of the Roman Empire. Most of them were subject to the Roman Empire. That doesn't make them free. So he's taking this wonderful... It would have been so much simpler had they not fixated on the word free. But anyways, he takes it and he explains to them what makes you free is when you're truthful about your sin, when you're truthful about the fact that you can't get out of this yourself, when you're truthful about the fact that you're never going to work your way to God, you're never going to be good enough, righteous enough, true enough to earn your way into God's grace or into his heaven, I should say. It's only by total grace, meaning coming to the Lord and saying, I am a slave to sin. As long as I live in this earthly shell, I am a slave to sin. But Lord, you can make me free. So he turns it on its head and he says, you want to understand transformation? Understand who you are. Know who you are. What does he say? You're not a slave. If you're forgiven, if you're set free by the grace of God, if you're a child of the King, are you a slave anymore? No. This is the dichotomy thing, you know. We have to admit every time we repent that we're slaves because we keep doing the same things over and over again. As long as we're on this earthly journey, but at the same time we're sinner and saint. Made holy by the blood of Christ. Saint means sanctified. We're sanctified. We're justified and we're sanctified. And the fact is, we're always going to fall to sin. Otherwise, the truth about Romans chapter 3 that we read, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, would be a lie. Right? Isn't what St. Paul just told us in Romans 3 correct? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. We wouldn't die if we weren't sinful. But the reality is, as long as we're a human being and a sinner, we live on this side. But next we're going to talk about all saints. We're also saints made holy by the blood of Christ. And as we live under that power of the Holy Spirit, as we live as his people, may we never be deceived by the lie of the evil one to believe that we don't belong. Because we are children of the King. We are sons and daughters of the King, and we belong. Amen? We belong. That's why I make the sign of the cross. Some people say, well, why do you make the sign of the cross? I think we ought to do it more. That's why I keep water up here to remind me of my baptism. When I come in here to pray, I always remember my baptism because that's where Jesus claimed me. I can't remember it. I can remember of it because my parents and everybody told me. But the reality is that's when Jesus claimed me. I'm his child. I'm a son of the King. And I belong to him forever. And he is the one who sets me free. Every time I repent, he sets me free. Every time I repent, he says, you're dearly loved. Every time I repent, he says, you have a place in heaven prepared for you. And when you lose someone, that just comes as an amazing gift, doesn't it? Because you're going to see them again. That's been on my mind the last few weeks. You're going to see them again. Because you belong. You belong to him forever. And he ends it with, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And that's what the Reformation was about. That's what started on October 31st, 1517. That's what it was all about. And Lutherans tend to spend a lot more time on this than most churches, because it's our history. But I hope and pray that we don't just stand there and say, well, isn't it awesome? We started, it's the birthday of our church. That's why we have red colors on. It's the birthday of our church. But I would hope that we'd understand the Reformation as a call to get back to Acts. And that we would see Pentecost as the birthday of our church. Far too many people within our church, and I just want to say this, so if you think I'm saying our church is so much better than other churches, it's not. Because there's a lot of guys in our church that want to get back to 1517. I'm like, really? Because my goal isn't to get back to 1517. My goal is to get back to the Church of Acts. Shouldn't that be our goal? Shouldn't we want to get back to the church that changed the world? The Reformation changed the church, but the Acts church changed the world. The call of the Reformation is one not only of an event, but it's a call of Romans 12 to no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed. Maybe next year we can call it Transformation Day. What do you think? How that'll go over? I don't know. I don't want to get people upset. It's about being transformed, being changed, being renewed, being forgiven, being reminded we belong, being told who we are, and being given the promise, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. No matter what your sinful nature says, no matter if your sinful nature says, well, how can you be freed of this? This is too strong. You can't forget this. You can't forget that. Satan likes to get in there and say, God can't possibly forgive you for that. And the truth of the Reformation was that if we're transformed, we can come to the Lord no matter what we've done, no matter what has happened. We can come to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He will turn to us when we confess our sins and say, you are free. You're free. You're forgiven. You're set free. And you belong to me. And you have a place in eternity with me. That's what Reformation Day is about. Do no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. A call back to truth. A call to know that we are free. For if the Son sets us free, we are free. You're not convincing me. If you can't convince me, how are we going to convince everyone else? If the Son sets us free, we're free. No. If the Son sets us free, we're free. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's why we're here. That's why it's been 495 years celebrating the truth of transformation. The truth of the Reformation was not to get people back to 1517. The truth of the Reformation is to get people back to the church, following Jesus, knowing His power, seeing His Spirit reigning in the body, and seeing people's lives changed and transformed. So no matter what the world says, no matter what society says, no matter what the media says, no matter what people say and how many times they say it, we will know the truth. If the Son sets you free, you are free.
Amen.